For those who know that no mere man can help them, the priest is coming. For those who need a mediator to plead their case before Most High God, the priest is coming.
You're listening to the Holy Joys Sermon Podcast. Visit us at holyjoys.org to find more resources for a holy, happy church.
So this morning we're continuing our series on waiting for Christ, waiting for Christ, God's anointed one. Last week we looked at God's promise in Deuteronomy 18 to send us a prophet like Moses. We learned that this promised prophet is a mediator who stands between God and his people and gives the people God's word. But this idea of a mediator, one who stands between, is also a priestly concept. And so this morning we're looking at how God's promised prophet is also a great priest. Let's stand together and turn to Genesis 14. Genesis 14, verses 17 to 20. And we're also going to be reading Psalm 110, if you want to put your finger in Psalm 110. Both of our passages this morning have to do with the mysterious priest named Melchizedek. The mysterious priest named Melchizedek. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 14 at the 17th verse. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva. That is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Continuing in Psalm 110, Psalm 110, "The Lord says to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, fill our hearts with hope, faith, and joy as we wait for our promised prophet, priest, and king, that by him we may learn your will for our salvation, receive reconciliation through his perfect sacrifice, and enjoy deliverance from all our enemies under his righteous reign. In the name of Jesus Christ, our mediator, who always lives to make intercession for us. Amen. As many of you know, Abraham and his nephew Lot were shepherds together. But there came a time when their herds grew so large that they had to separate. Lot chose to settle in the well-watered Jordan Valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. The kings of the region went to war, and Lot and his family and his possessions got swept up in that conflict and carried away, and Lot was captured by the enemies of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that moment, Uncle Abraham stepped up and valiantly rescued Lot and the people with their possessions. Genesis 14, 18 tells us that when Abraham returned from rescuing Lot, Abraham was met by the king of Sodom, and that's to be expected, but also this mysterious figure of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is introduced as the king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. This is the first time in the Bible when a priest is explicitly mentioned. It's in fact the only place in the book of Genesis that a priest of God is mentioned. And yet, we're told very little about his identity. He isn't included in any genealogy. There's no record of his birth or his death. And there's no record of his priesthood coming to an end. Priests, of course, would become a major part of Israel's life and worship. Simply put, priests are those who stand between God and his people. The priests oversaw Israel's worship, instructed them in the law, offered sacrifices for their sins, and prayed to God on their behalf. The sons of Levi, Abraham's great-grandson, were chosen as the priestly tribe, and once a year, Aaron, the high priest, would go in and offer a special sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. If the people wanted to approach Yahweh, they had to go through the Levitical priests. But this Levitical priesthood was imperfect. The priests were many and weak. They often sinned and had to offer sacrifices for themselves before they could atone for God's people. And of course, they died. Their priesthood ended. And Israel had to hope and pray that the next priests would be faithful over God's house. And we know from the Old Testament that often they weren't. Worst of all, the blood of bulls and goats had to be offered daily, and they didn't actually take away sin. These sacrifices taught Israel that sin is a messy business. It brings death, and it demands the death of the sinner unless a substitute is offered. They taught Israel much, but they didn't deal with the real problem. And what Israel needed was a greater priesthood. And this is where Melchizedek comes in. Through Genesis 14 and Psalm 110, God revealed that the priest which Israel needed would not be after the order of Levi, but after the order of Melchizedek. First of all, the coming priest would be greater than Abraham, Levi, or Aaron. The coming priest would be greater than Abraham, Levi, or Aaron. We know this first because Melchizedek, this type of the coming one, the coming priest, blessed Abraham. And Hebrews 7:7 says, "It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior." Second of all, Abraham recognized the greatness of Melchizedek when he gave him a tenth of the spoils from rescuing Lot. This is interesting because this is also the first time in the Bible when tithes are paid. This is before the Mosaic law, and it's one of the arguments that some Christians make for why tithes are still required of Christians today, in that tithing, the principle of tithing, giving at least a tenth of your gross income, is a principle that we see even before the Mosaic law was instituted. But by paying tithes to Melchizedek, the point this morning is that he recognized the greatness of Melchizedek. Now, we know that the Levites were also paid tithes, but Hebrews 7 makes an interesting point. It says that Levi was not yet born. Aaron was not yet born, and it's as if Levi and Aaron were in the loins of Abraham waiting to come out and be delivered. It's as if through Abraham, even Levi and Aaron paid tithes to this great Melchizedek. And then third, Melchizedek was a man, but seemingly more than a man. He was without genealogy, almost as if he was without beginning or end. When Psalm 110:4 foretold that Messiah would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, it was looking forward to a time when God's own eternal Son would become the priest who never dies, whose priesthood would never come to an end. Secondly, this coming priest would feed his people with bread and wine. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 introduces Melchizedek in this way. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. This year, we had a class on Bible reading, and I've tried to model biblical interpretation well through my preaching. And one of the things that I've stressed is the importance that we follow the example of Jesus and the apostles in how they interpreted the scriptures. That has to be the starting place, the Bible's own approach to interpreting the scriptures. And one of the things that's fascinating about the New Testament is that it sees types of the sacraments in the Old Testament. 1 Peter 3 says that Noah's Ark was a type of baptism. 1 Corinthians 10 says that the Red Sea crossing was a type of baptism. And it goes on to say the manna from heaven and the water from the rock was also a type of the Lord's Supper. And we see here a clear correspondence between Melchizedek and the coming priest. Just as Melchizedek fed Abraham with bread and wine, so will the coming priest feed his people with the bread of his body and the wine of his blood, the blood of the covenant shed for many for the remission of sins. Through the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, our priest king still extends his body and blood, his perfect, once for all, atoning sacrifice through visible signs and seals that we can see, and that when we partake in faith, we receive the benefits which they promise. St. Augustine notes, for then, in Genesis 14:18, first appeared the sacrifice which is now offered to God by Christians in the whole wide world. Third, this morning, the coming priest will bless God's people. He'll bless God's people. You know, it's easy to just fly through that one. I've already alluded to the fact of his blessing. But in the midst of a cursed world, what we need more than anything else is the blessing of God Most High. And it was essential to the priestly office to bless God's people as a representative of God himself. In Numbers chapter 6, Aaron and his sons, the descendants of Levi, were commanded by God to bless the people of Israel, saying to them, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And God goes on in number 6 to explain that by doing this, the priest would put my name upon the people of Israel and I will bless them. It's why at the end of our services, I say, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Because we as Christians, as those who are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bear the name of God wherever we go. His blessing is upon us and his face shines upon us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fourth and finally, the coming priest is also a king. The name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. The name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Melchizedek is also said to be king of Salem. And what's peculiar is that we have no evidence of any city or town named Salem. Rather, Salem is very close to the Hebrew word shalom, meaning peace. And Hebrews 7 explains that Melchizedek is, quote, first by translation of his name, king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. The prophet Isaiah would later foretell the advent, the coming of this righteous King and Prince of Peace. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Psalm 110 is about the coming messianic king, and yet this king, exalted to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, is also a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The offices of priest and king are united in one messianic figure. This Advent, are you prepared for this coming priest? Friends, brothers, sisters, he's looking for more than a tenth of your spoils. Yes, give generously, but remember that this coming priest does not need your gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He is eternal in the heavens, and what he comes looking for is your heart. For those who know that no mere man can help them, the priest is coming. For those who need a mediator to plead their case before Most High God, the priest is coming. For those with sinful bodies longing to be made clean, the priest is coming to offer his body in the bread. For those with sin-sick souls longing to be healed, the priest is coming to offer his most precious blood in the wine. For those who feel the world is broken, the priest is coming to bring God's blessing in a land of cursing. For those who feel the darkness all around them, the priest is coming to shine the light of God's countenance. The victims of oppression longing for righteousness, for them the priest king is coming. For the anxious and depressed and afraid, for those who feel forgotten and unwanted, the priest king is coming. Look to him in faith.
Thank you for listening to the Holy Joy Sermon Podcast. Our labors for a holy, happy church are supported by generous listeners like you. Please pray about partnering with us at holyjoys.org/donate.